This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. حي على الصلاة. حي على الصلاة. حي على الفلاح. حي على الفلاح. الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونستنصره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إلها واحدا أحدا صمدا لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وأشهد أن نبينا وعظيمنا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وحبيبه اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد يقول جل جلاله في محكم كتابه إن الذين يحبون أن تشيع الفاحشة في الذين آمنوا لهم عذاب أليم في الدنيا والآخرة والله يعلم وأنتم لا تعلمون. He says subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nur, indeed those who encourage or like to see fahisha spread amongst the believers, they are promised a punishment that is severe and painful in this life and in the hereafter, and Allah knows and you do not. And you have to love it when he says it, subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's only a few times in the Quran where he says Allah knows and you know not. You know right when he says that, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the topic he talked about will have a continuation that the human brain at the time had no ability to even remotely imagine, which makes talking about the topic today extremely difficult. Within the series of contemporary issues that I began at the beginning of this summer, today I'm going to talk about the issue of hypersexual exposure or sexual overexposure that we are suffering from. This is an issue that is relatively new, meaning that if you have a grandfather in his 70s or 80s and you ask him how he grew up, and what he was exposed to in his teens and 20s, it is very different than what you are exposed to today. The difference is overwhelming. It's extremely alarming. You have the ability to be exposed to more sexual promiscuity and obscenity within the palm of your hand over the course of 4 minutes than your grandfather had within the course of his lifetime. And there is no way to say. It is extremely naive and ignorant to think that does not have an effect on the human psyche. To act like that is not going to have a significant effect on the way we understand ourselves, the way we understand our own sexuality, and how we understand what it means to be in a relationship. To imagine that doesn't have an effect is just very simplistic and naive. The literature is quite clear on a number of issues. If you go to the American Society of Psychology or just basic medical journals, you'll find that they're pretty clear on the statistics, on the basics, that hypersexual exposure is an issue, and it has effect on girls in terms of the anxiety of their appearances, depression, low self-esteem, eating disorders. It has an effect on boys. Aggressiveness when it comes to sexuality, development of fetishes that never existed before, a decrease of satisfaction within their relationships, and the list goes on and on and on. Statistically, 90% of human beings on the planet consume pornography. 90%. Do you understand what that number is? We have nothing that is remotely close to that. 90% of human beings consume it. The median age of when you start consuming it is 11. Is 11 years old, 80% of them actually start consuming it at home. 50%, 56% of divorces, when you ask one of the divorcees, at least one of them talks about a problem with hypersexual exposure during their marriages. And the statistics get worse and worse and worse. And I'm only scratching the surface and letting you know the tip of the iceberg. And I don't need to tell you the statistics. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You know for sure, clearly, what I talk about. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never told us, no, never commanded us in the Quran or the Sunnah to do something or not to do something except based on the fact that it was beneficial for us or harmful. Allah doesn't tell you this is haram just for the fun of it. Hey, you like it? It's haram. Let's see what you do. No, it's haram because it's going to ruin you. It will ruin you on an individual level. It will ruin your society. And if you don't see that, it's just a matter of time. Sometimes the effect of our mistakes is not tasted during our lifetime. Sometimes we make mistakes and it doesn't get to the point where it's bad until a few generations later, when we're at a point of no return. This is the problem. Some mistakes, some problems, once you reach a certain point, you can't come back from them anymore. Societies specifically have that phenomenon. Where if you ruin the mentality of a community within with any specific domain, you ruin it bad enough for long enough, at some point you can't bring them back anymore. You can't fix it anymore. It's too late. There's nothing to do. And for sure what I'm talking about today is one of those issues, for sure. Beyond a shadow of a doubt. So when he tells us, subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is haram. Fahisha is something you stay away from. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. He says, stay as far away as you can from everything that will lead you to zina. Because indeed, it is a fahisha. And it's a horrible way to live. You know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us something important. And when we decide, no, we're good. We have this under control. We don't. So what he tells us, subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to take seriously. That's why we're talking about this. Just as a disclaimer at the beginning of this khutbah, because you may hear some words that you're not too happy with. But we're talking about it because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us and we didn't learn. And now we're close to a point where we may not be able to fix this anymore. I want to share with you verses in Surah Al-A'raf, just so you understand. He says, قَالَ وَاتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ الَّذِي آتَيْنَاهُ آيَاتِنَا فَانْسَلَخَ مِنْهَا فَأَتْبَعَهُ الشَّيْطَانُ فَكَانَ مِنَ الْغَاوِينَ وَلَوْ شِئْنَا لَرَفَعْنَاهُ بِهَا وَلَكِنَّهُ أَخْلَدَ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ فَمَثَلُهُ كَمَثَلِ الْكَلْبِ إِنْ تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْهِ يَلْهَثْ أَوْ تَتْرُكْهُ يَلْهَثْ ذَلِكَ مَثَلُ الْقَوْمِ الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا فَقُصُصِ الْقَصَصَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ سَاءَ مَثَلًا الْقَوْمُ الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا وَأَنفُسَهُمْ كَانُوا يَظْلِمُونَ. Tell them the story of those who were given the signs of Allah, the teachings, the guidance of their Lord, but they decided that they didn't want it. They were cloaked with it. فَانْسَلَخْ is when you outgrow your own skin. فَانْسَلَخْ means you don't want to be in your skin anymore. You're being covered, but you don't want it. You want to take it off. And salakha minha, you got rid of it. He covered it. He cloaked us, subhanahu wa ta'ala, with that which will benefit us, but we didn't want it. And we followed the shaitan followed us along. And we went in deviation. فَكَانَ مِنَ الْغَاوِينَ. And had Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant, had we accepted his teachings, he would have elevated our status with it. But no, we decided to go into the earth. Akhlad, Khuld is a mole. Moles, they go underground. They decide not to go on earth's surface, they decide to go underground and follow their whims and desires. And their example is the example of a dog. If you burden it, it pants. If you unburden it, it pants. It will continue to pant, whether it's burdened or unburdened. He unburdened us, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He unburdened us. He said, don't do this. This is a burden upon you. This is a disease. You stay away from this filth because it'll ruin your life. So he unburdened us. But we said, no, we want to be burdened. Very rarely in the Quran does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use examples where he says humans are similar to animals. Doesn't happen a lot. Surah al-Jumu'ah. مثل الحمار يحمل أسفارا مثل الكلب. Only a few times. And usually the topic is extremely, extremely serious and very, very scary, as the topic today is. I'm going to talk about it through sharing with you 5 points. 5 points, inshallah, they won't take too long. I'll share 5 points. Point number one. غض البصر, lowering your gaze, is a skill set, it's an act of worship, and it's a habit. غض البصر needs to be taught within our households. Just like you teach salah and siyam and not to lie and to listen to your parents and blah, 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 blah. Just like you teach those things, you must teach this as well. That shying away with your gaze, lowering your gaze for men and women, for boys and girls. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ. Tell them to lower their gaze. And if they are believers, this is what the verse means. And if they are believers, then they will do it. The ayah is not saying, tell the believers to lower their gaze. That's not what it's saying. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا. The way the linguistic complex of this verse is saying, tell the believers. And if you tell them the truth of the reality that they live, if you tell them the will of their Lord, then they will lower their gaze. And if they're not believers, then they won't. وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ وَيَحْفَظْنَ فُرُوجَهُنَّ until the end of these verses. You can't teach غض البصر if you don't role model it. Yeah, I know, I'm sorry. You have to role model it. You actually have to practice it yourself. As a father, as a mother, you have to practice it yourself. If you don't practice it, neither will your children. If you don't practice it, neither will your children. Is that clear? They will not practice that which you preach to them and don't practice yourself. You want them to have some degree of you want to keep them a little bit away from this problem? Start by teaching them that lowering your gaze or shying away with your gaze from haram, from fahisha, is an act of worship. It's a skill set. You learn to do it. At the beginning, you don't want to do it. You're curious. You want to see. That curiosity kills. You want to see something. You learn this is haram. It's not for you to look at. There's a lot of things in this world we shouldn't be looking at. All the awrat al-muslimin we shouldn't look like. And awrah is not just physical. Maybe there's something inside their home they don't want us to see. Maybe they're in a situation where they're very self-conscious. It's a social, they're in a public gathering and something's happening. They don't want you to be seeing what's happening because they're yelling at their child or someone's having a hissy fit. Look away. Don't stare. That's their awrah. If you were in their position, you wouldn't want people staring at you either. Learning to do ghadd al-basar is a skill set. You have to develop it over time. It has to become a habit. It's a part of our ubudiyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He commanded us, so we say that labbayka ya rabb. Sami'na wa ata'na ya rabbi. We will lower our gaze. Ikhwani wa akhawati al-khutbah al-yawm fi silsilati al-qadaya al-mu'asira allati ibtada'tu al-haditha 'anha mundu hawali 6 aw 7 asabi'. Wa tahaddathtu 'an qadaya muta'alliqa bil-'alaqat ma bayna al-jinsayn wa al-yawm atahaddathu عن قضية الجنسية بشكل عام والحديث عن هذه المسألة والله شاق وأنا أتردد إذا ما أردت الحديث عنها على منبر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم تعظيما لمنبره عليه الصلاة والسلام لكنها مشكلة منتشرة بين الناس والإحصائيات لا تكذب ولو كذب الناس ولو قال فلان قضية لا أعاني منها لم أسمع بها من قبل يا أخواني الإحصائيات لا تكذب الأرقام واضحة هناك مشكلة حقيقية في المجتمعات تتعلق بالنظر إلى الفواحش لا أتحدث هنا عن الوقوع في الفاحشة وإن كانت مشكلة موجودة بيننا لكن أتحدث هنا عن مقدماتها، ومقدمة الوقوع في الفاحشة هو النظر إليها، تطبيعها، إلف هذه الفاحشة وإلف هذه المعصية وإدامة النظر إلى ما حرم الله. هذا مما يفسد قلب الإنسان على نفسه، وهي مشكلة شائعة بين الناس. وأريد أن أقارب هذه المشكلة اليوم من خلال الحديث عن 5 نقاط. النقطة الأولى: علموا أولادكم أو علموا أنفسكم أولا ثم أولادكم من بعدكم أن يغضوا من أبصارهم كما أمر المولى جل وعلا. وإذا الطفل لم ير المثال الحي أمامه لا يستطيع أن يطبق الأمر. إذا أمرت ابنك غض بصرك ولم تكن ممن يغض من أبصارهم لم يستمع إليك. إذا لم تعلمه السبب وتتحدث معه عن الغاية التي من أجلها يغض من بصره لن يغض بصره. والأمر يجب أن يشمل الولد الابن والبنت أيضا. The second point. The consumption of pornography today is something that statistically is extremely alarming and very scary. I am in no way or fashion an expert on this topic. If you have an issue, I can't help you with it. But I can point out to you the numbers. When they talk about 85% of boys between 16 and 17 consume it on a regular basis. When they talk about the fact that a third of consumers of this fahish are actually women. This is very serious and it's very concerning. And we have to understand, I'm not going to use certain words today on the minbar, that the self-stimulation, and you know what I mean by that, there are kids here, I'm not going to use certain words, that the self-stimulation that's affiliated with the consumption of this hypersexual content that exists online has real-world effects on the ability for people to understand and respect the opposite gender, to see them in the light that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them within, to get married on time, and to enjoy their marriage. You see, if someone is consuming this for a very long time, then their brain has been conditioned to see that as pleasure. So when they marry a human being, a flawed, normal, regular human being, the brain asks the question, what is this? This is not what I'm used to seeing, because you've been looking at artificially enhanced filth that is aimed to overstimulate parts of your brain and misrepresent what reality is. So the young man has to work for years upon years to find the proper spouse, and they have to put their wealth, and they have to compromise, and they have to accept, they have to work, and to stay away from haram for so long, and then they get married, and they're not satisfied within their relationship. And they come and say, "This is not, I don't enjoy any of it, what do I do?" Well, yeah, sorry about that. Sorry that we decided to ignore that you were consuming something for 25 years and no one talked about it. I'm sorry. Maybe we should have brought that up. Maybe we should have said that what you're doing is not healthy at all. It's not healthy. Your well-being is riding on this. Your well-being is riding on it. It ruins your ability to understand what realism is. You don't know what you're actually dealing with. You're overstimulated all the time, so it's hard to stimulate you now. It's hard to get you in a position where you can enjoy your spouse. It's a problem. This is a problem. This industry is filthy. This industry is evil. This industry exploits people's weaknesses. It exploits people who are poor, people who have mental illnesses, people who have nowhere else to go. Imagine zina being documented and shared with people. The fahisha that is similar to murder. We are taking it, packaging it, and then sharing it with people and saying, take a look. It's not enough that they perform fahisha. No, we're going to turn it into some form of entertainment, which it is not. This is an industry that takes so... The amount of money in it is alarming. If you understood how much of the internet is actually just that, and how much money is made, and the people who have stocks within this industry, you'd understand why the scientific community doesn't really talk about it too much. Well, the scientific community actually does not look into this too often. Leaves it aside. Some studies are out there saying, yeah, it's healthy. It's not. It's not healthy. And it's not helpful. And it's not normal. And it needs to stop. And it's evil. And we have to be the people who reclaim the narrative. We have to, that's my third point. We need to reclaim the narrative on this. As Muslims, we have to be the ones who say this is not acceptable. And this is haram, and this has to be removed. And it cannot be made accessible as easy as it is now to anyone who's carrying a phone or anyone who has access to the internet. That cannot be the case. It used to be hard back in the day. Ask a father. If someone wanted to consume something like that, they'd have to get into a car and drive somewhere to someone's house who would maybe humiliate you before they gave you a magazine of some sort. It was hard to consume this, so you had to really be someone who had... No, by accident. Now you're walking down the street. Everything is sold through sex. Everything is sold through some hypersexual representation of the human body, some objectification of who we are as people. And that can't be normal. And that can't be normalized. We have to reclaim the narrative on this issue. We have to point out what is unacceptable, what needs to be dealt with to protect not only ourselves and our marriages and our institutions, but also our children who are growing up at a time where they are being fed something that they're not remotely ready to deal with. Brothers and sisters, sexuality is an extremely important aspect of the human experience. Nothing trumps it aside from food and drink. The only other instinct that you have that is stronger than it is food and drink. And sometimes this is stronger than food and drink. And you can do whatever you want to people, just don't starve them, because once you starve them, then things go into havoc. But this issue is no less dangerous. And when we decide that we're going to take something so delicate, so specific, so precious, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala built a system for it, and we're just going to do whatever we want, and we're going to just open all closed doors and allow people to consume something that they don't even understand what it's going to do to them, then we're all at danger of the consequences. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه يغفر لكم يا فوز المستغفرين استغفر الله. الحمد لله وحده وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على من لا نبي بعده وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اتبع نهجه ووفى عهده. The fourth point. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us an alternative. He gave us a solution. It's a way of life, it's a system. Unfortunately, we can't perform, we can't cherry pick from Islam. You can say, I like this piece. You keep that one. And that one's nice too. But the rest of it, I don't. أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. It's not, you can't cherry pick here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a number of things haram, a number of things mandatory, a number of things mubah, and He made a system for us to live. And within that system, we are, as a community, to a certain degree protected and immune from this filth. But because we have not practiced this appropriately, and because we have kind of ignored things, we are now in a position where it's going to be hard to salvage certain aspects. But with hishma and hijab and haya and iffa, we can still fix this. You see, hijab, the concept of it, is that I will dress in a way where I will only provoke integrity and respect when you look at me. And the sisters will do the same. And that way, we can have appropriate, professional, respectful relationships. Do you ever think about the phrase that they use to describe someone who looks good? I'm not going to use the word on the minbar because I feel it's a little bit heavy. I don't think it's appropriate. But you know what I'm talking about. Oh, you look, right? There's a certain term. If I'm dressing respectfully, then the reason I do that is because I want you to respect me, right? If I'm dressing to look, then what do I want when you look at me? What am I hoping for? That you look at me and want to have, that's what we're doing. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. You're walking down the street, dressed in a way where you want people to look at you and think he, she are wanting, that's what you want. You want people walking, looking at you, wanting to have a relationship. But that's what's normal now. Yeah, you want to look. No, you don't. No, you don't. Why would you? You want everyone to see you and to hope to you want people to look at you and see respectful, someone who has integrity, someone who has self-esteem, someone who represents themselves as... You don't want to walk down the street being, but that's what we've normalized. That's what we've normalized. And people are anxious about it. And men think they have to look a certain way. And women, which is even more, they think they have to look a certain way and dress a certain way in order for them to be accepted socially, when it's not true. This is just the effect of a hyper-sexualized community that doesn't know the difference between fahisha, haram, and halal anymore. It doesn't know what is pure and what is filthy anymore. It doesn't. We cannot play into that hand. We cannot, as Muslims, we can't play into that hand when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us an alternative, gave us a system that is so beautiful, that is so pure, that is so elevated. Or else, remember the verses in Surah Al-A'raf. Or remember those verses in Surah Al-A'raf. If we say, no, we don't. It's very, very dangerous. The final piece that I'll share with you today, in today's khutbah, and forgive me, this is probably the most difficult topic to address on a minbar. It's very hard to talk about it, but I know each and every person sitting here knows exactly what I am trying to say, and knows that this is a problem. And the reason that I'm talking about it is just for you to say, okay, it was talked about on a minbar. A sheikh got on a minbar, and he talked about the issue. I don't claim to know how to fix this, but at least we're pointing it out that it's an issue. Or what are you? Or do you want to continue to believe that people achieve sexual maturity at the age of 15 and somehow just don't run into this for 20 years? That's what you want to believe? Sure, go ahead. Go ahead, enjoy your butterfly world up there in the clouds. The last point that I have to offer you is seek help if you have an addiction of some sort. If you're struggling with this issue and it's weighing on you, seek help. There's a lot of resources that exist in the world today. I don't know of Islamic ones, but we don't necessarily need to be in an Islamic one. We just need a resource that will help you rid yourself of a habit that you don't want to have in your life, a habit that's going to harm you. Mark my words, this habit harms. I see it all the time. I am not an expert in marriage problems, and I can't fix this problem. But this comes to me whether I like it or not, and I have to at least address it. And it comes to me more often than I would like to admit that it does. So if you have a struggle, whether you are not married yet or married, then my advice to you is to seek help and get rid of it. And make sure that you help your children not fall into this problem. If they have devices available all the time with no supervision, and with no cybersecurity, and with no firewalls that at least keep them, then this is just a matter of time. It's a matter of time. Because it's not just those who are trying to promote filth that are out there. No. Even if you try to watch any form of media entertainment, there's always aspects of filth that are being inserted into it. And anyone who watches knows what I'm talking about. They insert filth everywhere. It's there because it sells, that's why. Because it sells, because they are speaking to the human, the basic instincts of the human experience. They're trying, and they know that it works, and they know that it makes money. And as Muslims, we have to be smarter than that. And we have to be aware of it. We have to acknowledge it, and we have to take steps to protect our youth and protect ourselves from this problem. These are the 5 points I wanted to share with you. In no form or manner is this going to fix or solve this problem. But I want to put it out there as a beginning for people to start talking about this issue and searching for solutions. There are specialists within our community and outside who know how to deal with these problems and know how to offer you advice in terms of what to do to help your children. We have to take more time and talk to them. Our children have to be educated on issues of sexual existence by us, not by some other person. They have to hear it from us first. We have to talk to them about these things ourselves, which means as a parent, you have to be well educated on the topic. You can't just use the terminology or the understanding that your father or your mother had, which dates back to the 1930s, where 100 years ago, it was very different. Very, very different. Well, just in the last 15 years, 20 years, things have changed dramatically. Why 2003, it wasn't like this. Wallahi, it was not. Today, things are very different, which means the burden on you to educate yourself, to learn about this, to know what to say and how to talk about it, how to address it, and how to help your children through it is there. And our masajid need to do more about this as well. And that's what I wanted to share with you today. I hope that was a benefit. وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَنَا بِأَمْرٍ عَظِيمٍ فَقَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد وارض اللهم عن الأربعة الخلفاء السادة الحنفاء أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان عثمان وعلي، وارض اللهم عن أزواجه أمهات المؤمنين، وعن آله الطيبين الطاهرين، وعن صحابته الغر الميامين، وعن التابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، وعنا معهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات، الأحياء منهم والأموات. اللهم فرج هموم المهمومين، ونفس كروب المكروبين، وارفع الغم عن المغمومين، وارفع الظلم عن المظلومين، واحقن دماءنا ودماء المسلمين. اللهم انصر إخواننا المرابطين في المسجد الأقصى، ورده إلينا في العاجل القريب يا رب العالمين، وردنا إليك وإلى دينك أجمعين ردا جميلا، وتب علينا من جميع ذنوبنا توبة نصوحا، طهرنا بها قلبا وجسدا وروحا، وما ذلك عليك اللهم بعزيز. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون.